looking over a shepherd's shoulder. Sometimes people ask me, where do you get your sermon ideas for all your messages? And I really don't have an answer for that question. It seems at times that certain subjects just sort of are impressed upon my mind, and that these are the directions that I take. Here lately, I've been sort of between impressions or destination points, and I really have not had any direction which I have felt led to go. Some say, well, the well is dry, and that's about the way it seems. The last several weeks, I have been inclined to deal with God's letter to a shepherd. I've been a little neglecting to do this because I'm the only shepherd. And I've asked the Lord, as you know, the Bible says in John 10:14, He is the good shepherd, Jesus. In Hebrews 13:20 says He's the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4 says He's the chief shepherd. I want to look at you with you at 1 Peter 5 because we'll be talking about this portion of Scripture this morning. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Now, Peter's writing here to the elders, that would be the preachers, and he says, the elders which are among you I exhort. And then he says, I am also an elder or a preacher, and I also am a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and of course I also have partaken of the glory that shall be revealed. And then in verse 2 he says to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and in a sense, he's saying here, all the elders are under-shepherds. As I said a while ago, I have really, in a sense, not wanted to preach on this. There's a simple reason. I'm going to be preaching myself. And I can't see any real need to have a series of messages whereby no one is being directly spoken to but me. You know, some people say, well, did you preach that just at me? And I never have a sermon that I preach just at or for or towards one person. And this will be a rare exception where I preach a series of messages just for one person, and that person's just for me. It does seem sort of strange. So for that reason, I just dismissed it from my mind why I preach on that series. And I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. And it's seeming the Lord wants me to preach a message for me. And seemingly, He wants you to listen to it. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me either, but I've always, in the last 20-some years of preaching, been led of the Lord in this way, and I've always been true to the leading. I've done what He asked, and so I've said to God, doesn't make any sense, God, what you're asking. And He sort of says back to me, well, a lot of things that I do don't make sense to you. And I said, that's true. So, this morning and a few mornings to come, we're going to be looking at looking over a shepherd's shoulder. And I'm going to involve you in a real sense only from the angle of curiosity. Just about everybody, sometime in their life, gets the urge to read somebody else's mail. Or I guess it gives us a charge. I don't know. Either when somebody's not around, we feel this urge to read a letter, or when they're reading it, we sort of look over their shoulder and we want to read it as they read. How many of you can resist picking up a bulletin in a pew that somebody has written a note on and not reading it? There just seems to be something about reading somebody else's notes or mail that intrigues us. While our family was out shopping this week, we went to one of these new stores that's springing up in Houston. And while we were wandering around looking at the various things they had on sale, I came across the display window with a letter in it. And I looked down there and it said $7,500 and you could buy that letter. And I said, what on earth is that? That's worth $7,500. Well, it was a letter written by Thomas Jefferson. Well, I was urged to read it. You know, there it was. Somebody had written a letter years ago, and it was valued now at $7,500. I said, well, what's on that letter? I want to see what it says. And it was a personal letter that Jefferson had written to someone, but I couldn't read it because I could not read his handwriting. And yet I wanted to read it. I was just curious. I wanted to see what the letter had to say. Now, if Christ this morning was to write a letter to a under-shepherd, if the chief shepherd wrote a letter to an under-shepherd, what would he say? Now, that is what I'm preaching, y'all. What would he put in that letter? And as I read, I'm going to let you look over my shoulder and see what he says to me in this letter from him. And we'll both have our curiosity satisfied. I, too, would like to know what the shepherd would say to the under-shepherd. And so we're going to begin reading the letter. Dear under-shepherd, now I don't find Christ in any of his letters wasting any time. He gets right down to the point. Dear under-shepherd, now this is probably the way that he began his letter when he wrote it to Peter. It was personal here, though, after the resurrection. Dear under-shepherd, now this will probably be a matter of high priority. The first thing he's going to begin with. Dear under-shepherd, look at John 21. John 21. I believe this will be the first thing he talked about. John 21. Now here we find the shepherd talking to an under-shepherd. We find Christ talking to Peter. We're able to look over his shoulder and see what he said. Now, when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me? And Simon said, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, all right, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, all right, feed my sheep. Third, he said unto him, Simon, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. And he said unto him, Lord, you know I all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. What's the first thing that the under-shepherd was told to do? Feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Well, we were reading a while ago from the book of 1 Peter, who, of course, was the author of the book. We just got through talking about what Christ said to Peter. And what was Peter's first words to the under-shepherds? All these years had passed since Christ first gave him this commission, feed the sheep. What does Peter again, do you remember what he said? 1 Peter 5:2. Notice again what Peter says. Feed the flock of God, which is among you. Still number one priority. The top of the list. Peter was still convinced that this was the duty of the under-shepherd, was to feed the flock of God, or as Jesus said, feed my sheep. As I thought about this, I really believe this is one of the primary purposes that God calls a pastor. Now, I don't know what you think, and that's really, I guess, maybe why I'm preaching this, what you think my job is. What is the role and the purpose and the function of an under-shepherd? What is it that you're supposed to expect out of me? Well, I'm trying to find out myself. What is the role of the under-shepherd? As I understand it now, the first and primary function of the under-shepherd is to feed the flock of God, to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. And this is why God has called various people to be pastors. Look at Jeremiah 3:15. Maybe God knows something you and I don't know. Some people say, well, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a preacher. Well, I beg your pardon. The shepherd tells me that his sheep need a shepherd. He told Peter, feed my sheep, implying they can't do without you, Peter. Peter told the people in the first letter he wrote, feed the flock of God. They can't do without you. I didn't say that, folks. I'm telling you what God says. Verse 15, and I will give you pastors. Why do you have to have a pastor? A lot of folks don't. A lot of folks don't. I will give you pastors according to my heart. And what will they do? They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. A lot of people, I think, have the idea we need a pastor to bury the dead and marry the young. That's all we need him for. That's not biblical. And as God, the shepherd, writes the letter to the under-shepherd, he says, I will give you my heart. What do you mean? I'll give you my love for my sheep. That's what I'll give you. But that love for the sheep is basically centered around one thing. What is it? That you'll feed them. That you'll feed them. Feed them what? Knowledge and understanding of what? The Word of God. So that's my primary function is to be a preacher. That comforts me in knowing that. I feel like I might can do that. Jeremiah 23. Same book. Jeremiah 23. 3 through 4. This is a prophetic statement, but it teaches the same principle. I will gather my flock out of all the countries, and I will bring them again to their folds. Now notice verse 4. And I will set up shepherds over them for what purpose? That they may be fed, that they shall lack nothing, saith the Lord. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we hear the same thing from God. My sheep need a shepherd. For what purpose? That they might be fed the Word of God. That does not mean that you cannot read your Bible by yourself at home. It does not mean that you can find nourishment from religious books. But God seemingly says that through the shepherd, He will deal with individual flocks of sheep. And you will not get in your home devotions, and you will not get in your Bible reading what you will get from the shepherd. Neither thoughts nor God's will in time for the flock. I believe this. Over the years, I've sensed this, that God has a message for the flock that needs to be preached at a certain given time in history. And if the flock is not there, they won't get that message. They won't get it in their devotions. They won't get it on the radio. They won't get it in their books. They won't get it, period. There is a certain kind of food that God's flock needs at a certain given time, and He will give it through the shepherd, or you won't get it at all. I'm thoroughly convinced of this. As I look back and see the directions that sermon series have taken, it's strange. But God has tried to reach the needs of this individual collective body of sheep through a shepherd. And He's doing that in every fold of His sheep. Now the shepherd is for the fold. This is not to say that you do not have individual care of a shepherd for an individual sheep. But primarily it is to feed the flock, to feed all the sheep, not just one or two. The message that God wants for His flock is a group message. If there is a private message, then I feel God will deal specifically with the shepherd for that sheep. But primarily it is a group feeding, not a single feeding. There is an individual feeding of God's sheep and there is a fold feeding. This morning is a fold feeding. I am still convinced that God wants His sheep to come together for a time of spiritual feeding. I believe this. The Bible says the sheep need a shepherd. The sheep need feeding. And they're not going to feed themselves. And they're not going to get the right diet without the shepherd. And even the shepherd will not even know what to feed his sheep unless God, the chief shepherd, tells him. I do not know your spiritual needs. I do not know your family needs. I do not know your personal. I do not know hardly anything about you. So it's up to God to supply the messages that will most help most sheep in their lifetime and where they are at that moment. I do not know the future of your life. I do not know what tomorrow holds. I don't know anything about your future. But the meal you eat today is to supply you with some strength for some future exercises, future problems, future trials, future needs. And I believe that God, through the shepherd, speaks to the people, the sheep, preparing them for what lies ahead in their life. And if you miss the feeding, you're not going to be in good shape for that trial when it comes. That's as I understand it. Now, on the surface, it seemed like an easy thing for me when I realized the Lord says, feed my sheep. I said, man, there's no problem there. Yep. I'd rather preach than do anything. Feed my sheep. What am I going to feed them? Word of God. That's no problem. That's the food that I am to feed the flock of God. Look again at Peter, 2 Peter 1:12. We keep going back to the same text because it's our basic one this morning. 2 Peter, though, this time 1:12. Peter says, I'm not going to be negligent to put you in remembrance always of these things that I'm teaching you, even though you already know them. But I'm going to keep on so that I might establish you in the truth. That I might establish you in the truth. I think to begin with, the Lord has implied or impressed upon my mind that if you're going to feed the sheep, number one, that you yourself must love the truth. You yourself must know the truth. You yourself must teach the truth. You yourself must be grounded in the Word. You must know what you're talking about. And you must like it. And you must love it. Number two, you must teach it. You must teach the truth. So often I hear people come to me and say, oh, we're looking for a Bible church. That used to really encourage me, but not anymore. Because I have found that very few sheep really will ever say, I'm looking for a Bible church. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes, but something else God told me in this letter. They don't want a Bible church. What they're saying is, and I finally figured out, they want a doctrinal church. They want a church that will teach them basic doctrines of the Bible. That's what they want. But that's not really a Bible church. You see, a Bible church is one that not only informs you of doctrine, but it also informs you of the way God can change your life. And that's where most people say, well, I don't want a Bible church. I want doctrine, but I don't want to change. I don't want my personal life to be in any way involved or affected by my worship of God. But I would like to know what the Bible says about God, about heaven, about angels, about hell, about God's grace, about man, about sin. I'd like to know what God says about salvation, but I don't really want to be like God. You don't want a Bible church. You want a doctrinal church. So many people who say they want a Bible church don't really want one. Because to teach the truth, you just don't teach Bible doctrines. You teach Bible morality. You teach Bible submission. You teach Bible self-sacrifice. These are things you teach Bible commandments. People who talk about wanting doctrine don't care about commandments. That's not doctrine. That's obedience. So I found where a lot of people say, well, we want a Bible church, I don't really believe them. I hope they do, but I find most don't. Most don't. Then if you're going to feed the flock, then you have to yourself believe the truth. You have to believe it. 1 Corinthians 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9:16. How many truths are there? I say there is one truth. Not a plural truth, and that I have been given God's orders to feed you. Now Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for of necessity I don't have any option. What else can I preach? Oh, there's a lot of things you can preach. You can preach the philosophy of philosophy, the philosophy of psychology, the philosophy of sociology, the philosophy of mankind, of modernism. You can teach all kinds of philosophies. Paul said, but a necessity is laid upon me to preach only one thing. And then he says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And so if I'm to feed the sheep, I must believe the truth. When the Bible says that there's no way for a man's sins to be forgiven outside the shed blood of Christ, do I believe it or not? I mean, plurality says, well, if I don't want to believe in the blood of Christ, I don't have to. I think you do. The Bible sure does. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So I say, if you're going to be a under shepherd, you have to believe the truth. I believe God created man in and by himself, as the Bible says. I do not accept the theory of evolution about man's creation. I do not. If I stand alone, I'll stand alone. If I'm going to preach the truth, preach it. Even if the truth in your eyes is wrong, the under shepherd has to preach what the Bible says is truth, not what I say is truth. He must preach what the Bible says is truth. I hear preachers say, well, I don't care what the Bible says, I believe this. You're not a good under shepherd. At least say the Bible teaches this, and I don't believe the Bible. Of course, that immediately cuts you out from feeding the sheep. If you're going to feed God's sheep, feed them the food found in the book. If you don't like the food, then don't be an under shepherd. That's the way I look at it. All right, let's go on. Galatians 1, 8 and 20. Paul says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel than that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we say again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be cursed. We don't have an option of gospels as under shepherds to give the people. You should not be able to go into one church after another and regarding morality and conduct and integrity and character and obedience, find 100 options. They should be the same straight across the board. Now, it's the shepherd's part to lead his people to green pastures. What is a green pasture? It's sound food. It's practical food. I didn't say it was tasty food. I didn't say it was always delightful food or enjoyable food, but I did say it was sound food. I think a shepherd is told that now. Give them sound food. A kid may eat 20 Twinkies a day, but that's not sound food. Give them something more than Twinkies. Give them soul food. Not political food, but soul food. Something that'll bless and help and encourage and sanctify their spirit. Not the body, not the pocketbook, but the body, spiritual body. And give them healthy food, and give them whole food. Don't bleach it, blanch it, blight it, or break it. Give them whole food. Now back to the letter real quickly. Dear under shepherd, I want to add some more to it. Feed my sheep. That's the first thing that you read as you look over the shoulder. Feed my sheep. Now I don't have an option here, do I? I got to feed you. All right, let's go on. Speak not, 1 Corinthians 2:13 is where this comes from, speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but you teach what the Holy Spirit teaches. Well, to do that, you have to go to the book, don't you? When I was in seminary, all they taught me was what man teaches. That's tragic, isn't it? They taught me what man teaches. Didn't have much on what Jesus said. Feed my sheep and speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now let's go to Isaiah 58:1 for some more of the letter. Go back and read real quickly now. Feed my sheep, speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Go on and cry aloud. Cry aloud. Don't be mealy mouth. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and their sins. Spare not. What is he saying here? You preach the truth. Don't worry about people's moods and people's feelings, but you worry about people's needs. They're my sheep. A child says, I get my feelings hurt if I can't have 21 Twinkies. Parents, you don't worry about your child's feelings. You worry about your child's needs. Your child needs more than sweets. There are other things that the body requires besides that. You cry aloud, that's enough, those Twinkies, buddy. Now, parents, you do that, and you will. I hope you will. Why? Because you love your child. God says to the under shepherd, that's not your sheep. That's my sheep. And you don't spare what my sheep need to be healthy and strong and productive of wool because of their feelings. They're my sheep. And you feed them what they need to be fed. And don't you spare. Don't you withhold any kind of food from them that I tell you to give them. Then don't disguise it.
You know how preachers disguise the food? They get intellectual on you. And they go into those five-syllable words. And they can say it to you and you don't have any idea what they're talking about. That makes it real palatable. That disguises it. Or they can even kind of mumble it, you know, and you never quite catch it. And he says, don't do that. You give my sheep what they need. And you don't have to make it palatable because some things just won't be palatable. What is God saying to his under-shepherd? You got to learn to deal with finicky ears. I ought to be a success at that. Because nobody is more of a finicky eater in natural realms than I am. And especially does God say when he says, feed the lambs, you've got finicky eaters. None are more finicky than what, little lambs? Children. And probably most Christians are still in the childhood stage. Very finicky. Boy, I told my parents 100 times, I don't want that. I don't like that. And I still, here I am 45, I go out to eat. I don't like that. You know, they prepare it. I don't like that. What do you like to say? Meat and potatoes, that's about it. I need more than, I don't need any Twinkies now, but I need more than that. Really. You don't get all your vitamins you need in meat and potatoes, but it sure tastes good. But I got an awful limited diet. I'll supplement all that with ice cream. That makes up for all of it. Now, you see, in a real sense, I'm a spoiled kid. Finicky eater. How you deal with somebody like me? It's not easy, brother. I gag if somebody forces me to eat things I don't want. I really gag, and I can only swallow it. And they sit there and say, oh, it's fantastic. It's good, man. It's good. Not to me. Now, the under-shepherd must realize that there are going to be some things that he's going to have to feed the sheep in the way of teachings that's going to gag them. And I don't like it. And I won't eat that stuff. I don't like it. You know what the Twinkies are? That's the promises of God. Everybody likes Twinkie. Everybody likes the promise. Tell me all the good things. I guess some of the things we don't like would be like spinach. And maybe you love spinach, I don't know, but man, I can't go that stuff. But some of the things that you have to teach, I guess, are acceptable about as much as a guy would accept spinach. So you have to deal as an under-shepherd with finicky eaters. And that, I guess, is one of the hardest things to deal with. And I guess I ought to realize that as myself being one of them. It's so hard to force someone to eat something they don't like. And they don't want. And you say, you can't make them eat it. And that's true. I cannot make anyone eat anything. But God says, at least put it on the table. At least tell them they need it. And that's about all you can do. You can lead them to green pastures, but you can't make them eat it. But as an under-shepherd, it's your job to lay out the spinach too. Spare not. Spare not. And then there's something I thank God, I won't close with this, I'm not through with the message, that God is trying to say to me, don't keep feeding them just spinach because they don't like it. Give them a well-rounded diet, and I guess this is one of the grave dangers that I can face and any shepherd can face, and that is that we keep giving you only what you don't want. We need a well-rounded message. I think the radio program really has the ideal of a shepherd. And there needs to be a balance between the rod and the staff. The rod is correction. That would be the things that are not too tasty. And then the staff, that would be the things that comfort, encourage, and cheer. One is sort of pessimistic, one sort of optimistic. There needs to be a balance in the pasture. And I hope that I can give a balance. I not in the past maybe have done this as I should. I've dished out too much spinach and not enough Twinkies maybe. I don't know. But the Lord is trying to say they need a well-rounded diet. We'll close here. Father, again I'm reminded as I read the letter that they're your sheep. They're not mine. This is your pasture over which you have appointed me. And there is a grave responsibility. And may the people realize that there is a need that they be taught the truth. May I continue to lift it up. May I make it as palatable as possible. Then too, I realize that I'm a sheep of the shepherd too. May I, as a sheep this morning, identify with the people, realizing that I need the food
that the gospel provides. We ask now as we look at these things together that the people might come to realize the obligations that the shepherd has and the needs which the Lord says the sheep have. Though it's a message primarily to me, may it be a learning experience that all of us can involve ourselves in and benefit from. This morning, may we at least realize the value of feeding upon the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.